grace, undeserved favor, or something far better? After decades of studying grace and its root word, a lingering concern always remains surrounding its traditional evangelical definition, God's unmerited favor or the undeserved favor of God. For 40 years, I have questioned this meaning. Numerous times when I was in the grace movement from 1985 to 1995, I would inquire of fellow leaders privately concerning their understanding of the meaning of grace and how, especially etymologically, that became its definition. I never heard a satisfactory answer. The Greek word for grace is charis, meaning joy. In fact, according to the Concordant Keyword Concordance, the Greek structure for this word is simply joy. Among its definitions are that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, that which causes joy, pleasure, gratification, an act producing happiness, a benefit bestowed. Charis in the KJV is most commonly translated grace, but it is also rendered as joy and pleasure, among other words. The root of charis is the verb chero, which means to be full of cheer, that is, calmly happy or well off, to rejoice, be glad, to rejoice exceedingly, to be well, thrive. Chiro in the KJV is commonly translated rejoice, but it also rendered simply as joy and glad, among other words. This simple verb, chero, and noun, charis, of joy, have been pondered by my heart and mind for years. They have been complicated by religion. Father used some things to cause me to reconsider the simplicity of grace's core, finally granting my release from its religious definition, and to better embrace God's beautiful grace. Undeserved grace? A reader, Gary Bennis wrote, I was wondering what you think as to why we don't deserve God's grace. The idea that we don't deserve grace because we're sinners doesn't seem like that's God's mind to me. Man didn't even contributed sin to the equation because it wasn't man's idea, nor was he the cause of it. We only see ourselves guilty because of the effects of religion. We were never guilty in our Father's eyes, just ours. Our brother was absolutely right. Sinner is merely a role that we are currently acting. In fact, we are justified, declared, constituted righteous in our divinely assigned role. The fact is plain. We predate sin, and we predate our role as sinner. We were in Christ before the disruption of the world. We're 100% righteous. We're as righteous as Christ. Is the grace that we receive from God undeserved? Only in a relative sense. Yet, in the absolute, certainly not. The first usage of grace in the Greek scriptures, i.e. the New Testament, was spoken of concerning Jesus Christ. Now the little boy grows up and was staunch in spirit, being filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. God's grace was on Christ. If evangelical Christianity has the meaning of grace on charis correct, then by the very definition, Jesus Christ himself was undeserving of it. Yet, this is nonsense. However, when we understand that what was actually on Christ was divine joy, pleasure, and delight, etc., then all makes perfect sense. After all, the Father declared, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." How about us? Well, the KJV tells us that we have been made, accepted in the Beloved, Ephesians 1:6, while the Concordance says that God graces us in the Beloved, Ephesians 1:6. After all, we are God's workmanship achievement, and we're his offspring race. So that being true, why would we not in fact be qualified to be the benefactors our Father's joy super excessively bestowed on us, joy grace? Additionally, the current working revision of the Concordant Literal Version has inserted joy as the superscript before the renderings of the word grace throughout its text. Look at these examples: the joy gracious gift, the joy grace of the God, and the gratuity in joy dot grace, Romans 5:15. The superabundance of the joy grace, Romans 5:17. The joy grace super exceeds, Romans 5:20. The joy grace shall reign through righteousness, Romans 5:21. God's evangel of joy. Accordingly, Dean Huff in The Unsearchable Riches calls God's evangel of grace the evangel of joy, declaring it as the joyous gratuity of God's evangel. He states that grace is essentially joy. It is a teaching of God's joy which reveals God's righteousness and commends His love. He continues, the Greek word charis, which is translated grace in most of its occurrences, is essentially a matter of joy. Hence, it is first defined in the keyword concordance page. 132 as an act producing happiness, and in Englishman's Greek concordance as that which gives joy, pleasure, delight. I would say, judging by its usage, that charis always conveys much the same sense as chara, and in one way or another, all Greek words in the char family, e.g., chairo, har, shaf, rejoice. It is to be noted that charis is sometimes rendered thanks, as in Romans 6:17 and 2 Corinthians 9:15, but in those cases the word joy would serve as well, i.e., to give God charis is to give Him joy. Joyize. Another grace, charis word used by Paul, was charizomai. The concordant keyword concordance has the Greek structure of this verb as joyize. That's what grace does, it joyizes. This is what God does with us when bestowing His grace on us. Thus, based on the usage by Paul, we joyize each other. What a beautiful picture all of this is. That's what we're here for, to joyize others. We're joyizers. Father joyizes us, and then we in turn become joyizers, joyizing those around us. Sadly, the King James Version often translates joyize, charizomai, as forgive. Yet the deeper one digs, the more freedom one finds, and the more sinister the conspiracy against freedom we discover. One can't help but think here of a contrast between joyizers and Judaizers. Judaizers place people in bondage. Joyizers help to liberate them from bondage. Grace is better than we ever could have even imagined. It isn't about being undeserving. It's about being deeply cherished. What father doesn't cherish his children and want to bless them, make them happy? Not because they are deserving or underserving, but because they are his.